Teamwork isn't just nice to have in business, it's the undisputed competitive advantage. When your team members work as a unified force, your whole operation benefits through higher productivity, thriving creativity, and unstoppable momentum. Welcome to the Impactful Teamwork Podcast, where we share with you strategies and tactics to help you develop game-changing teams so that you and your business can make a real difference in the world. Welcome back to Impactful Teamwork. I am so delighted to have you back here today for our next episode on this series. And today we are going to be talking about diversity and the importance of diversity in teams and how actually this unlocks innovation within your team. I really believe that diverse teams are critical to business success. And they're what makes the difference between an average team and a team that performs above the norms and can achieve exceptional results. So the concept about diversity in the workplace has evolved significantly, I think we can all agree, in the last sort of 5 to 10 years. And particularly in the last few, it's no longer just about meeting quotas and ticking boxes. Diversity really encompasses a huge broad spectrum of issues, including gender, race, age, sexual orientation, cultural background, and importantly, and this is the one that I think we overlook a lot in the workplace, diversity of thought. Because in an increasing globalized economy, diverse teams, in my opinion, are becoming the backbone of innovation and creating resilient organizations. And this is such an important topic for business leaders, because we really need to recognize that having diverse teams isn't about compliance or social responsibility. It's about competitive advantage. Because so many studies have shown that diverse teams are more creative, they're better at solving complex problems, and they're more adept at understanding and penetrating new markets. Dealing with all the rapid change that's going around us, we need to have diverse teams in place that can enable us to respond to all the diverse situations happening across the world. So here are a few key stats just to pique your interest as to why having a diverse team is so important. The first thing is a study by Josh Berwin showed that diverse teams, earn on average 2.5 times higher cash flow per employee than non-diverse teams. McKinsey also researched and discovered that inclusive teams are over 35% more likely to outperform their competitors. And People magazine also discovered that diverse teams make better decisions 87% of the time. So in this episode, what we're going to be doing is delving into how fostering a diverse workforce can lead to tangible business outcomes, including this enhanced innovation, improved employee satisfaction and retention, and ultimately superior financial performance. And we're also going to address today some of the challenges that leaders face when trying to build diverse teams. And I'm going to provide you with some really actionable insights on how you can overcome these. Because our goal here today is not just to create a diverse team, but also to create that environment where that diverse team thrives and where we foster an attitude of bringing in everyone's different perspectives so that we can truly get a holistic view of what's going on and really utilize and leverage all the amazing talent we've got in the organization. By getting all these diverse perspectives, we just have a much better picture about what's happening and can make much more informed decisions. So as we talk today about how to create diverse teams, I'd just like you to reflect on your organization's current diversity and inclusion efforts and invite you to think about, are you merely scratching the surface or are you really fully leveraging the full potential a diverse team can offer? What do we mean by a diverse team? Because it's really critical that we move beyond the traditional notions that often limit our understanding. Certainly when I was growing up, an idea of diversity related primarily to maybe gender and your ethnic background. But actually, true diversity really encompasses so much more than that. It's a tapestry of attributes that include actually the cognitive diversity that everyone has, our different approaches to solving problems, our different thought processes, and our different perspectives. And also importantly, experiential diversity. We've all had different experiences throughout our lives, different unique backgrounds, and each of these help us bring our own unique perspective to the table. It's only when we take this very holistic view of diversity do we understand the multifaceted nature of human identity and therefore this vast potential for innovation and creativity that comes from such a wide array of different viewpoints and experiences. Let's kind of delve into the different types of diversity that exist, because we've got cultural diversity. And that reflects the varied cultural backgrounds and traditions that individuals bring to an organization. And this enriches the workplace with different perspectives on communication, teamwork, and problem solving. And gender diversity is often discussed. It remains a critical area for improvement, especially in women's leadership roles, where only 23% of the C-suite are made up of women. And that's a statistic from Women in the Workplace. We've also got a situation now in the workplace where we have more different generations working together in the same place. And this diversity of age also brings a wealth of wisdom and experience to the workplace and creates a really dynamic, vibrant place to work. And these diverse skills and educational backgrounds means that we can tackle challenges from multiple angles. And actually, for an organization, that's helping us get a more robust solution. And these diversity of backgrounds includes things like socioeconomic, geographic, diversity of ability. And it's really important that all of these voices get heard. And what I've talked about so far are perhaps what we might describe as tangible aspects of diversity, the visible aspects of diversity, race, your ethnic background, your age, and your gender. But there are so many invisible aspects of diversity, things like culture, marital status, thinking style, parental status, physical abilities, sexual orientation, education background, values, beliefs, gender identity, religious beliefs, military experience, socioeconomic status. All of these things are invisible. And I'd also like to add another area to that, which is all the neurodivergent characteristics that are now becoming very apparent in the workplace. And I think we can probably all agree that in the last definitely 5 years or so, this has become a much more prevalent topic. I know myself from my own experience of speaking to my friends, so many more of them have actually realized in the last 4 or 5 years that they are neurodivergent. They've never been diagnosed before with things like dyslexia or ADHD or the wealth of other neurodivergent types that exist out there. And I mean, here are just a few facts just to support that. Autism diagnoses have increased 787% in the last 2 decades. And the prescription for ADHD medication has jumped 800%. We're now beginning to realize that we need to appreciate all these neurodivergent perspectives because they bring a wealth of new creative information into the workplace. And as I've said, you know, I have a number of friends that have recently been diagnosed in the last sort of 5 years as neurodivergent. And actually for them, that's been so liberating because they've now began to realize what their value is and how they can contribute to an organization and do that a lot more effectively than they could in the past, where they thought they were kind of the odd one out. And I'm really cognizant of a colleague recently who shared that, you know, this has just made such a difference to her life. It's become so liberating and she can now embrace her neurodivergent characteristics and really use those to leverage and bring great value to the company she's working in. And we've talked on previous episodes about the fact that we live in this VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, chaotic, ambiguous world. And the environment that we live in is transforming at an unprecedented pace. And it's driven by technological advancements, globalization, and shifting societal norms. So what does this require? This requires organizations to be able to adapt quickly to new markets, consumer demand, and new ways of working. We've all needed to embrace in the last few years the notion from working from home as a result of the pandemic when everyone was forced to work from home. Now, you know, there's a number of companies that have adopted a hybrid working policy just going forward. So we're all having to navigate this change in the way that all of us work together without even thinking about the global environment and how that's impacting the business as well. So when we've got diverse teams, we can get really diverse perspectives on what's happening. And this is going to enable us to respond to these global trends a lot more effectively. And this divergent thinking that comes from having a diverse team means that we're able to challenge the status quo. And that can foster this culture of learning and adaptation, which is so important for us going forward. So why do we need a diverse perspectives? Well, it's because it gives us a richer understanding of the world around us. And that leads to better decision making and more innovative solutions. And it also allows us to navigate the complexities of a global marketplace with greater empathy and intelligence. And in fact, in the face of challenges, diverse teams have been shown to be more resilient, because they can draw on a broader set of experiences and strategies to help move the business forward. So it's really important that as we're pulling all these diverse perspectives together, that we can foster a culture that supports this, where no one's view is shot down. Too often in organizations, we say we want new perspectives on things, but actually when somebody provides it, we see leaders shooting that down and shutting it down and saying, that's not a great idea. And what I'd encourage and invite you to do is think about how can we take all these myriad of ideas and put them into a melting pot and see what comes out? Because I'm pretty sure that that result is going to be better than the sum of the parts. I'd like you just to think about what is your own team's composition? How diverse are the perspectives represented in it? Are there any views or voices that you're missing that could potentially unlock some new avenues for innovation and growth? Because being diverse and embracing diversity is not just about being inclusive, it's also about being smart, strategic, and forward-thinking in a rapidly changing world. There's a huge business case, as I've already mentioned, for having a diverse workforce. And numerous studies have looked at the power of diverse teams, and the fact that they're not just a nicety, they're actually a necessity to thrive in today's complex world. They're this kind of magic superpower. We talked on a previous episode about how teamwork is this superpower that can unlock a company's competitive advantage. Diverse teams are that superpower on steroids, right? That enables teams to become even more better than they were before. A McKinsey report found that companies in the top quartile for racial and ethnic diversity are 35 times more likely to have financial returns above the industry norms. And another study's highlighted that business with more diverse management teams have 19% higher revenue due to improved innovation. That's a statistic from the Boston Consulting Group. And then something from a company called Clear Company, who's noted that companies employing an equal number of men and women manage to produce up to 41% higher revenues. And the McKinsey study went on to show that these diverse teams, when we've got them, GDP could increase by an incredible 26%. So the more we're able to create a diverse workforce, actually, the more that improves the global economy by improving GDP in their analysis by up to 26%. That's pretty significant, right? Here's a couple of examples. A global tech giant revamped its product development team to include a mix of genders, ages, and cultural backgrounds. And that the result of bringing that diverse mix of people together led to the creation of a groundbreaking new app and addressed previously overlooked needs and resulted in them capturing significant market share. And another example is a multinational consumer goods company that leveraged the diverse insights of its team to tailor products for emerging markets. And actually, what that resulted in was double sales in those regions. The case for having a diverse team is not just financial, but also in terms of innovation and market expansion, but also, I'd argue, in terms of employee engagement as well. If people are feeling valued within your teams, they are more likely to step up and be more engaged and be more productive and more effective. In today's fast-paced business environment, having a diverse team actually gives you that competitive edge. And it's clear that investing in diversity is a priority for all companies in order to safeguard their future. A recent study by Accenture showed that close to 50% of CEOs believe that they're going to need to reinvent their businesses. And the only way they're going to be able to reinvent those businesses is by pulling in these diverse perspectives of all the different people within the organization in order to create new products and services that meet needs that perhaps they don't currently serve. But let's be honest, it's not always easy to create diverse teams. There are a number of challenges within organizations and within the structure and society that can hamper our ability to do this. And we only have to look at how long women have been trying to get into boardrooms and into the C-suite to see that despite a pretty concerted effort, those numbers are still pretty low. I said 26% of C-suite of women are in C-suites. So this isn't an easy problem to solve. And many of you will be aware that diversity and inclusion is high on the agenda of many, many companies. But some of the things that we can do to help create a more diverse workplace are really to be aware of unconscious bias in the workplace, and particularly in our hiring practices. There's a habit that we hire people just like us. And of course, that can create a workplace where everybody is the same, and therefore we lose out on these diverse perspectives that is available. What can we do with this? In order to ensure that we create diversity, particularly during the recruitment process, and that we eliminate unconscious bias that might be out there, we might need to have hiring boards. It's not just one person hiring people in, but we have a board of people that are hiring people in so that we get different perspectives. There might also be stuff around improving training to make people aware of their unconscious bias. By definition, people are typically unaware that they have an unconscious bias around something. And I'll be very candid and share that when I first started out in the corporate world, I didn't know I had an unconscious bias, but because our unconscious bias are taken on by us at a very, very young age. They're programming that we get fed, something we learn that while we're a kid growing up, that we take on to be truth. And one that I had taken on that I was unaware of was the fact that my father worked in London. He had quite a successful job. And I used to see him go to work every day in a grey or a navy pinstripe suit. And in my mind, I equated working in London in the city, wearing a grey or a navy pinstripe suit equaled success. And fast forward to the first time I had to hire people in to my team when I worked in London. I was interviewing, I shortlisted a number of candidates. They came in that day for interviews. And there was a gentleman on paper. He was looking very successful. I thought he would be quite a good, great candidate for the role. And he turned up for the interview in what I could only describe as a plum or a burgundy colored suit. And in that moment, my unconscious bias kicked in. And because he wasn't in a navy or a gray pinstripe suit, I, in my mind, thought, this candidate can never be successful in this role. This isn't the right role for him. Now, of course, at the time, I didn't know about unconscious bias, but looking back on it now, I now see what a massive flaw that was. I lost the opportunity to bring that gentleman's potential skills into the organization because I had this filter in my mind that he wasn't wearing a navy or a gray pinstripe suit. So it's really important that we think about this unconscious bias and how it can impact us within the workplace. So some of the strategies, as I said, to overcome these challenges are to maybe have a structured interview process, utilize diverse hiring panels, offer this training to raise awareness among employees and managers, foster effective communication, and maybe involve cultural competency training, and give people clear channels for feedback so that they know if they are exhibiting any unconscious bias and what to do about it, and how the impact of that is impacting the diversity of the team. Because it's so important as leaders that we've got to be proactive in building this inclusive culture. And this needs to be a culture that celebrates the differences that people have and provides equal opportunities for growth and development of everybody. So we need this top-down commitment from senior management and clear goal setting and metrics to hold the organization accountable. And we really need to see leaders actively soliciting diverse opinions and perspectives within the workplace so that everyone recognizes that diversity is something that is valued within an organization, within a team, and recognizes that it's such an important trait that we can't overlook. I'd just like you to think about, what's your organization's approach to diversity and inclusion? Are there any unconscious biases that maybe you need to address? And how effective are your communication and conflict resolution strategies within diverse teams? So as we bring this to a conclusion, I just want to give you some actionable steps that you can take to help build these diverse teams that are just so important, as we've seen, from so many different perspectives for the organization's success. The first is going to be thinking about, how do you physically build that diverse team? How do you put in the right hiring practices to ensure you've got diversity? How do we create an inclusive culture where everyone's view is heard and recognized? How do we leverage diversity in decision making so that we can get a much more holistic view of what's going on from loads and loads of different perspectives? And recognize that this is an ongoing process. This is a very fluid process and things keep changing on a frequent basis. So we need to continually review and reassess the way that we're building our diverse teams to ensure that we're encapsulating all those different components. Remember, I spoke earlier on about all the invisible characteristics of diversity. We need to make sure we have those included as much as the visible characteristics of diversity. As leaders, you wield the power to enact change and really drive progress within your organization to help bring this diversity to life. And the journey towards building a truly diverse and inclusive team is both a challenge and an opportunity, right? It's a chance to redefine the workplace, spark innovation, and lead with a vision that embraces the richness of diverse perspectives. I encourage you to ask the hard questions and seek out new perspectives and really, really commit to creating this environment where every individual can thrive. So there's a lot that we've covered here today talking about the importance of diversity in teams, and I hope you found it really interesting. I will have some quite extensive show notes accompanying this episode, so I would encourage you to go over to the website on businesshorsepower.com/podcast, where you'll be able to find those. And for anyone just wanting to understand how they are making an impact in a team, I would also invite you to check out the new quiz that I've created especially for you on how to discover your impactful teamwork score. And this measures your performance in four different areas within the organization. And again, you'll find a link so that you can take the impactful teamwork scorecard in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you on any thoughts that you have on how you have created a diverse team, what you're doing. It's really important that we all learn from each other. So please do feedback and we can incorporate that into another show. Or indeed, if you'd love to come on this show and share with me and the other listeners what you've done to help you create a diverse team, I'd love to hear from you because I'm always happy to have guests on the show. In the next episode, I think what we're going to look at is some examples of effective teamwork. So, so important that we can bring this topic to life with examples of what real companies are doing out there to improve teamwork. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode, and I hope you have an amazing day. If you've got any feedback, please do send it through, and I'd love to hear from you. So take care. Have an amazing day. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Impactful Teamwork podcast. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating on your favourite platform. Recommendations are essential for attracting new listeners. Please follow us on social media at Julia Felton and at Business Horsepower. And if there are any topics you'd like us to cover on future episodes, please do let me know. Remember, you and your team are always making an impact. What impact will you make today?